I want to begin looking in verse 28. We visited this passage several times in the past. But I want to look here as we begin a new year, and I want to be reminded of some things. The Bible says in Isaiah 40, 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, There is no searching of his understanding. That's a statement. He giveth power to the faint. That's a statement. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. That's a statement. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's bow our heads and hearts together. Father, again, we're coming asking that you would illuminate our hearts and minds and give us exactly what we need. And Lord, speak to us through your word tonight. We'll praise you in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you very much, and please be seated. Now, you saw the questions that are framing this passage, and as we looked at this and the questions that are being asked, and then there's some answers or some statements that are given. And when you read this passage, and the reason I read it, normally when you quote this or you see it on an inscription, on a plaque or a picture, or whatever it is, you get Isaiah 40, 31, famous verse. But you rarely see the other verses in conjunction with it. So I wanted tonight to look at these and to just, I guess, put some brackets around what the truth of this verse is. And it's almost that we could say it this way. The question is being asked and answered. There's an unspoken question. And hast thou not known? In other words, the Lord is saying to his people, you know, do I have to tell you again? Do you have to be reminded? And the answer is yes. We do have to be reminded because we forget. How many times did the children of Israel have to be reminded of their exodus out of the land of Egypt? I'd like to count them one of these days and see how many references there are to Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt in the Old Testament, and then how many times is it repeated in the New Testament? I mean, it is just repeated over and over and over and over. And so they knew, but they needed to be reminded. Now, can I say that there is a group that's coming on? Now, they were up here a while ago collecting the change, and they haven't known. They're brand new to this thing. This is all brand new. All they know is what they see mom and dad do and what they hear mom and dad say. They really don't know for themselves. This is all brand new to them. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? Now, contrary to this verse, if you were to sit around in a preacher's conference, sit around a table with a bunch of Baptist preachers right now, you'd declare, you'd think, sure as the world, that the Lord is weary. You'd think, sure as the world, that the Lord has fainted. You would think, sure as the world, that he's no longer everlasting God, he's got a power shortage. And that the angels have been cut back to half rations. That's every time I get around a group. It's doom and woe. How bad things are and you say, well, you know, it's just that way among the pastors. No, it's that way everybody I talk to. The missionaries, oh, how hard it is to get their deputation. Oh, how hard it is. Everybody I talk to, and it is hard. I don't doubt that. But what I'm trying to say is, it's always been hard doing it ourselves. It's always, the work of God done in the flesh, in the strength of man, has always been difficult. That ain't never been an easy task. But boy, when God will blow through, when God will just breathe on something, when God will just put His amen upon a project, when God will just put His breath upon a project, when God will just, when God will do something, hey, the Scripture says the youth, they may faint and be weary. The young men, they may utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Can I say that? There's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of young men that got in and went wide open, and now they're getting out. Why is that? Well, maybe it's because they don't have the past to draw on. Maybe they've not seen the valleys that some of the older men have seen. Maybe they've not ever had to walk by faith. Maybe they got in the fire and it's all been glory ever since. And maybe that they don't have any reference point. Maybe they think maybe God is out of business because they don't have anything to compare it to. But the Scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, tonight I think about this passage, and I want to make this very personal. I'm thinking about when I'm preaching tonight, yes, there is the church universal, and yes, there is the church national and international, and yes, there's the missionaries and all the other things. But the bottom line, who I'm concerned about tonight is not that group, but I'm concerned about the group I'm looking at. And a number of people that I need to be looking at that are not here, that are not going to hear this. That's who I'm interested in tonight. I'm interested in this particular group, the congregation that God has entrusted me with. The Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord. There is a promise in this passage to those that wait. How many times have I had people come up and say, well, preacher, I want to see thus and such, but I want to see it. We need to get on it. We need to get on it now. We need to get with it. Well, just know this, that's just not the way it works in the ministry. Years ago, that wasn't the way it worked in housekeeping. Anybody remember the days when you started housekeeping before Visa and MasterCard? You might remember that. You might remember housekeeping when what you had was what people give you, their hand-me-downs. And you didn't have these big bridal showers and get thousands of dollars of gifts. You didn't have this big thing go register and people just cover you up and you got 14 toasters under the bed that you re-gift for the next 10 years for Christmas. You giving out toasters that's 10 years old, this 10 years ago, but they're brand new in the box because you're re-gifting them because you've had them in the closet all these years. Wasn't like that. You got the leftovers and the hand-me-downs and the whatnots, and you didn't have furniture that matched. You certainly didn't have dishes that matched. You didn't have, you drank out of jelly glasses. Right? Yeah. And Brother Whittemore said snuff glasses. I ain't going to repeat that. That was part of the premium that they would, you'd get to keep the glass. And so the granny women had to do their part to make sure they had glasses to drink out of. So they would get their snuff glasses. Do you remember when they used to actually have cups and saucers in dishwashing detergent and laundry detergent? We didn't have dishwasher, laundry detergent. Remember that? Come in it. Do you remember when they had it in the oats? What was that called? I can't remember. Remember when they had saucers and different things in oats? They still do? They have cups in oats? I didn't know that. But yeah, you could get, and so that's how people save stuff. And so that you took, and I know this is going way back, but your dish rags were your flour sacks. And you wash those out and you reuse that, and that's what your dish rags were. And, you know, you had all the different things that come from some, you know, not unusual to go to the table and have a different pattern of a fork, you know, at every plate. And the plates would be different and the glasses would be different. And it wasn't uncommon to drink out of a wide mouth, small pint mason jar. Today they do it as a novelty at some of the restaurants and at Dixie Stampede. Years ago, that was out of necessity. Especially if you had company, they'd have to get out the mason jars because there wasn't nothing else to use. That's all there was. Well, that ain't the case anymore. Now we go and we put it all on Visa or MasterCard. Remember the days when you would go to up at Abercrombie's and lay away a piece of furniture? Or if you didn't lay it away, sometimes you'd lay it away and pay and pay and pay on it till you got it out. Boy, it had to take a lot of patience. Sometimes you'd be paying on something for a long time. If you got real good credit, you could buy it on time, but they would finance it in the store. And you had to go buy each week when you got off work and make a payment at Houston's or at Abercrombie's or at one of the stores. You had to go and make payments on it. And little by little, you were able to accumulate a little furniture and a little of this and a little of that. Anybody remember those days? Well, those days, we don't know anything about those days anymore because now it's instant everything, you know. And we've got, you know, kids think that they're supposed to have everything, you know, as much as mom and dad have and more and, you know, instantly. And so we don't have the art of waiting anymore. This year they brought back a layaway like it was some new concept. Layaway. And they made big headlines. Well, we got layaway for jewelry and I think it was electronics. It was the two things they were laying away. All it was. I mean, do you remember the day when they were something? You always had something on layaway? You go by each week and pay on it and pay on it and pay on it and pay on it and pay on it. Finally, you'd get it out. And boy, what a happy day that was. You'd go lay the young in school clothes away in the spring or the soon as school got out, you'd pay on them all summer long in time to get the school clothes out by the time school started. And you make payments on that. But today, we're that generation of instant gratification. Is that right? I mean, we can access, think about this, we can access the knowledge of the world by touching a button. But we're so impatient because we need to get a new computer because the one we got takes 3 seconds to boot up and the new ones that come out only take 2. And you know, that second can really save time in the long run. And so we're going to get rid, we're going to give that old one to Goodwill and we're going to get us a newer one that it'll download faster. Is that right? Of course it is. And, you know, we're, and the same thing's true. I thought about this past week. I never thought I'd live to see the day, now this is the truth, that people would give away a color television. I never thought that I would live to see the day people would give one away. Because when I was a kid, I only knew one family that had one. One. There was one family that got a color TV. And we went over there and they turned the lights out and it hurt your eyes, a color so bright on it. I didn't like it. It made me kind of car sick to watch the thing. I didn't like it. I just didn't go with it. But to say that, number one, somebody had more than one television, that would be funny. Yeah, right. Yeah, the Biltmore house maybe. Yeah, ain't nobody got more than one television. And to say that somebody had more than one color television, oh my word, more than one color television. But to think that people are now giving away televisions that there's nothing wrong with them. And you can get 26-inch, 19-inch, whatever, color televisions that there's nothing wrong with them, and you can get them setting out by the side of the road because they're hauling off. Matter of fact, the junk, they're charging you $10 to put it in the dump for a color television that works perfectly. because a new thing came up called flat screen and high definition and all these other things. Who would have thought it? I sure never lived I never thought that I'd live to see the day. I remember when VHS come out. Who ever thought that you would be able to get VHS tape players for all you want at Goodwill for a dime a piece is all you want, stacks of them, tape players. Who ever thought that? I mean, only rich people had those things. Microwave ovens, there were only a handful of people that you knew that had a microwave oven. And now they go out and people change microwave ovens like you change light bulbs. It ain't no big thing, just it blows out and you go get you another and go right on about your business. Is that right? It's different. Things have changed. It's amazing how things have changed. And so nowadays we don't have to wait on the Lord anymore, but there is a promise to those that wait. There is a promise. But they that wait upon the Lord. Can I tell you that one of the hardest things you've ever done is to wait with a burden. You got a burden about something and to have to wait with a burden. One of the hardest things you've ever done. This year, there's some things that are before us. And we're going to have to wait upon the Lord. But boy, it ain't because I like it. I'm thinking about missions. There's some things that need to be done. I can think in my mind, and my mind just starts just ricocheting across the globe at some things that need to be accomplished. We need to get a building nailed down in La Paz. We need to buy that other lot and get that renovation done up on the Altiplano. We need to go ahead and buy land, buy that lot in the Devil's Tooth, and get a building up on it in South America. Hey, we got the opportunity to buy or build a radio station in Watertown, South Dakota. And boy, that one's starting to really get heavy, starting to weigh heavy. We have a building standing in Gillette, Wyoming. It's there, but it needs to be wired. It needs to have insulation put in it, and it needs to be finished. And it's standing there. I mean, it's closed in, but we need to finish it. We need to go on with it. Still owe about $5,000 on the concrete that's already been poured, so we're in the deficit. And we need to go forward with that and get that warehouse up and finished. Boy, that's hard to wait on. And if it's hard for me to wait, how much more is it for Doug and Robin to wait? How hard must that be for them to wait with all the opportunities that are right there before them and all the opportunities that are just right there with them? And I could take that and continue to go and continue to run. There's a whole lot of things that need to be accomplished, that needs to be done for the glory of God, waiting upon the Lord. Hard to wait with a burden. We have the opportunity for the first time, I guess. Well, it is for the first time. And I don't know. I've waited and waited and waited on it. Now that it's here, I don't know. We have the opportunity to a whole nother step in, instead of just audio, of going video. But it's going to take some money to buy cameras and to buy switchers and to go that next step. There's a possibility of going on cable television and having access to cable television. There's a possibility to streaming our services live, all of them, and have an audience that joins us like a virtual balcony, like Share-a-thon, but to have every service that way, where people at work, the shut-ins, missionaries that are on different time zones than we are can log in and can look and watch and can see what's going on and can hear what's going on. But also, our newest software and what we have now, Video Archive. We're talking about doing it for Share-a-thon, not only being able to listen to all the Share-a-thon messages, but to be able to go back and watch all the Share-a-thon messages. We have had tens of thousands of hits of people listening to messages off the radio site. What do you think it would be if we were to put video on there? And I'm not talking about some little handy cam. I'm talking about quality, professional quality video. What do you think it would be? How many folks could we reach before the pullout in Iraq, in the palaces in downtown Baghdad where Saddam had his palace? He had a series of palaces down there. the armed forces had set that up as a central command hub. They had a projector. And I don't know that personally that I did, but when I was preaching at Jubilee, they communicated with some sort of brass over there, and they had told them that they had been projecting the Jubilee services on the wall of Saddam Hussein's palace, and the guys had been gathering in to watch the services. Now, whether or not I was on there, I don't know, but I know that they were doing it. Okay? Think about that statement. To get to preach in the palace of Saddam Hussein on his wall. Now, what about that? Do you ever think that would happen? Well, it has happened. We're pulled out now. I'm sure it's not happened this moment. But what about getting to broadcast in the homeland of Saddam Hussein over those four FM stations? How about that? And getting to broadcast to those bases and all those soldiers. If I'd have told you 10 years ago, I said, yeah, we'll have Christian radio stations in Iraq by the end of the decade, would you believe that? I wouldn't have believed it. But their opponent, I mean, that opportunity was there. It came and went, by the way. Had we not got it when we did, we wouldn't have got it. If we had waited, we had to take opportunity when it come up. But there's an opportunity to do some things. There's some opportunities to do some great things for the glory of God. But you got to know God's timing. So there's a promise to those that wait. But they that wait upon the Lord. And then the Bible teaches that there's a promise to the weary. Look what the Scripture says. Shall renew their strength. Shall renew their strength. I don't hardly know how to say it. When you get older, you learn a new definition of weary. Grandpa used to call it being give out. Just give out. That's what he'd call it. And it was not just a physical thing, but it was also a mental thing. You just give out. Just wore slam out. So much so that sometimes you had to stop in the middle of the row before you could finish plowing the row out. Sometimes you had to take a seat on the stoop of the corn crib and just sit there and get your wind back and get your breath back, being weary. And I understand a little bit more about weariness than I used to. When I was a young man, I didn't hardly know what that was. I mean, I got tired, but I didn't really ever get to the point to where I felt like I couldn't get breath, that if I'd done anything else, I wasn't going to be able to get my breath out so tired. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. You just get so tired that you just feel like you ain't going to be able to live if you don't stop. You got to. Didn't used to know what that was. I didn't know anything about that. 20 hours a day, didn't think nothing about it. I mean, all the time around. I mean, 7 days a week for years. Never even thought about it. Would laugh at people that talked about getting weary. Well, that's changed a little bit. But the Bible says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, the classic illustration is old Joshua and Caleb. And Caleb is there with Joshua. They're both old men. They're the only two spies that told a true story and a positive story. And yet they had to wait in the wilderness with the rest of them till the whole generation died off. And God buried them in the wilderness. And if you think about it, if they were preachers, and apparently they were, we figured it up one time how many funerals there were if that many Jews died over the course of 40 years. All they did was preach funerals for 40 long years. Don't you know that had to be depressing? Funeral after funeral after funeral. And that's all you preach is funerals. But the day came that they got to cross Jordan. And Caleb come to Joshua and he said, I'm as strong as I ever was. I want that mountain. I want that mountain. But now wait a minute, Caleb. Number one, it's an uphill battle. I don't care, I want that mountain. Caleb, hang on a second. There are giants up there. Don't care, want that mountain. But Caleb, they got the high ground. They're looking down on you. You look like a grasshopper in their sight anyhow. And as big as they are, and them shooting down the hill at you, man, you ain't got a chance. I want that mountain. It's going to be an uphill battle the whole way, Caleb. I want that mountain. Give me that mountain. Give me my mountain. And sure enough, he whooped them on their own land, on their own territory. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So there's the promise to the waiting. There's the promise to the weary. There is the promise to the warrior, to those who are actively trying to accomplish something, actively trying to do something for the glory of God. Look what the Bible says. There's three separate things that happen here. The Bible says they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. There is, if you've got like an old world book encyclopedia, some of the old ones, it'll tell you what the altitude range is with eagles, and it'll say they've been seen as high as such and such feet. That's old news. Matter of fact, that's totally outdated. Because what they found is now that they have seen eagles now at altitudes that far surpassed anything that they thought they flew at, to the point now they have said that they don't know how high eagles fly. Some of the latest stuff I've read on eagles, they said if an eagle gets an updraft just right, that he will ride it just as far as it'll take him. And it is possible for some of these hot summer days for him to get up in that air-conditioned space and around thunderstorms and around tornadoes and other things, that those updrafts are so strong, could very well take him on up into the area where birds don't even fly. They say they don't know how high they can fly. I can already tell you this, they fly higher than they thought they used to could. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. But I want you to think about this. It's not that they flapped and flapped and flapped to get there. No, if they did that, their metabolism would have to be so high they'd have to go eating continuously, because there's no way that they could expend that kind of energy to get up to 30, 40,000 feet. You couldn't do that, you know. So what do? They don't go up by their own energy. They just ride the current and allow themselves to be lifted to whatever height God wants them to fly at. And as far as I know, eagles don't have altimeters on them, and they don't know that you're not supposed to go this high. Nobody told them. And the higher they get, the better the view, and they just keep on riding it. Just keep on going and keep on going. Keep on going. Commercial airliners have reported seeing them. Fighter pilots have reported seeing them. It continues to go. We don't know the whole story of how high they can fly. But we know this, they don't flap and do it. Matter of fact, the eagle spends very little time flapping. Most of the time, he's riding the currents. And he's just up there hanging out, riding the currents. We stopped by Caesar's Head Friday, took the kids down to the pavilion ice skating, and we stopped by Caesar's Head. It's cold. And we're out on Caesar's Head, and I think, what is Caesar's Head, 3,200 feet or something like that? But the issue is the great drop. I mean, it's a big differential. The upstate runs about 1,000 feet above sea level. Here in the valley, we run about 2,200. But I think up there, maybe it's 3,000 or something in that neighborhood. But there's a pretty good sheer drop. I mean, it drops almost straight off there at Caesar's Head. And I looked, and here's a hawk. He's just hanging out there. And he ain't flapped. All he does is just adjust his pin feathers on the end of his wings. That's all he's doing. He ain't flapped yet. And he's looking at us, and he turns and goes around this way, then he turns and comes back around this way. And he's flying level with us, and I'm thinking, man, he's really up there. But as far as he's concerned, it ain't no different. I mean, it's not a bit different than flying 10 feet off the ground, as far as he's concerned. Back in 1982, when WESC's tower fell during the ice storm, my boss, I wanted to go on it. I didn't get to go. But they brought in a helicopter, and the one that flies the lines, and they were going to go do an aerial survey to see how bad it was, because we couldn't get trucks out there to Caesar's Head because it was that bad. So they were trying to do aerial survey of the damage. And so they're running along about 50 feet above the power lines, just, you know, with a bubble, a little bubble chopper, kind of with the nose down, and they're flying along looking at lines. And he said it wasn't that big a deal until all of a sudden he shot out over Caesar's Head, and it's about 1,500 feet straight down. He said all of a sudden he grabbed a holt, you know. He said that fellow just spun that thing around and then come right back in. And I said, well, you think about it, that helicopter don't have any more trouble. I mean, it didn't strain it a bit when the bottom dropped out. It just flew right out there and turned around and come right back in. It doesn't have any more difficulty flying at 1,500 feet off the ground than it did 50 feet off the ground. Didn't have any difficulty whatsoever because the elevation up here is the same. It's just the ground was closer to us. Does that make sense? Didn't change the setting on the carburetor a lick because the same elevation. He was still flying at the same altitude above sea level. It's just the ground fell out from under him. But the supervisor said, man, that scared me when that thing did that. And I thought about how that is sometimes with the work of the Lord. Sometimes the bottom falls out, but hey, we're still right where we were. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And then the scripture says, they shall run and not be weary. Run and not be weary. Now, it is hard to imagine running and not being weary, running any distance, because running makes you weary. And yet the Bible says they shall run and not be weary. I think about those that have run. I think about Brother Rhodes, who's run the race now for all these years, been running for the Lord over 70 years. And, I mean, doesn't seem to be too weary. He's still running. He's still right on. He's still picking them up and putting them down. They shall run and not be weary. And then the Bible says they shall walk and not faint. Three things that I see here, and I'm going to let you go tonight. First of all, when you're talking about wings of eagles, when we're talking about the work of the Lord, when we're talking about what God's got for us here at this church, just as mounting up on wings of eagles, there's no altitude limit for an eagle, and there is no obstacle that's too high for us to get across. There's no such thing as that. Oh, but preacher, there's some real obstacles standing in our way between here and there. It's not too high for God. Not too high for God. Oh, but preacher, this and this and this. Oh, you don't have to remind me of that. The devil does that plenty on his own. The devil sets of a night and whispers in my ear half a night all the obstacles and how high the obstacles are. Of course, I hear that. I know that. But there's no obstacle too high when you're not flapping, trying to get up over it yourself, but you're soaring on wings of eagles. When you're allowing God to take the updrafts and soar you up and over that thing. You believe God's able to do that? Oh, yeah, done seen him do it too many times. Done seen him do it too many times. The Bible says they shall run and not be weary. There's no obstacle too high. There's no opportunity too far. Do you know that? Pakistan, we can't go over there as Americans. We're not allowed. That don't mean we can't go over there with the gospel. We got boots on the ground over there doing a good job. Ain't no obstacle too far. Years ago, we talked about the iron curtain, the bamboo curtain. We don't hear that much anymore talking about stuff like that. And you know, but now there is certainly a Muslim curtain, and there's a bunch of other curtains that still exist that we can't cross and that we can't get through. They ain't stopping God. It ain't even slowing Him down. He's going where He will. There's no opportunity too far. It's a long way between here and St. Lawrence Island. But there's no opportunity too far. It's a long way between here and the Andes Mountains of La Paz, Bolivia. But there's no opportunity too far for God. It's a long ways between here and the South China Sea. But there's no opportunity too far. Not for God. They shall run and not be weary. And then finally, they shall walk and not faint. Now, you got to kind of read between the lines to get this point. Walking and not fainting. Now, we were running a while ago and wouldn't get weary. But now we're walking and we're not fainting. What kind of walking makes you faint? You say, well, if you just walk, preacher. Well, if a person walks at a regular rate and a regular speed and you've got food and drink, you should be able to do that. What kind of walking is it that causes you to faint? And I'm talking about to be totally wore out and totally give out. And I think about in my mind, I can see somebody crossing a desert, you know, and they're walking in that old deep sand, and it's caving out from under their feet, and they're trying to come across one of these sand dunes. And every step is like taking three. And it's just, I mean, it's labor. I think about somebody walking in mud in the jungles. And man, every time they have to pick their foot up and put it down, they're not only picking up the weight of their feet and shoes, but the weight of all that collected mud. And there's that suction on the bottom of their feet. And I mean, they're having to walk and wade in that mud. I mean, that opposition, that oppression. Well, how about wading in deep snow? You know how hard it is to walk in deep snow. It's tough to walk in deep snow. I mean, snow that has depth to it. I mean, it's difficult to walk. I mean, this is not original, but somebody was talking about how that a little boy kept trying to walk in the snow when he was with his dad, and they were walking, and it took him a while to figure it out. For a while, the little boy was trying to do it on his own, and the snow was much deeper on him than it was on his dad, and he just got about to give out. He's too big to carry. So finally, he figured out that if he had followed where Daddy had been, Daddy had already knocked out the trail, and there wasn't near as much resistance in following in his dad's steps if it was over here trying to walk beside him in his own stride or in his own path. Can I say the same thing is true? And so can I say it this way? They shall walk and not faint. There's no obstacle too high. There's no opportunity too far. But thirdly, there is no oppression too great. Not deep mud, not deep snow, not deep sand. Whatever it is that oppresses our walk, there's no oppression too great for the child of God. You say, but preacher, I'm just being pulled down and I just don't think I can put one foot in front of the other. Well, that's the key, by the way, of how you keep going, is to put one foot in front of the other. You don't worry about the 100 steps from now, you worry about the next one. And once we make that one, then we worry about the one after that. I've talked to people who fought cancer. And with cancer, they tell me that it's not a long-range fight, it's a day-by-day fight. And we're going to worry about today, and we're going to get through the day, and then tomorrow, we'll worry about tomorrow, when tomorrow gets here. But today, we're going to concentrate on today and what needs to be done today. Sometimes we can, you know, when things are good, we can get that long range, get the high beams on it. We can look way on out there ahead of us at what's coming. But there's times the oppression gets so great that we got to put the low beams on, and not even that, we got to turn the fog lights on. Because we can scarcely see what's right in front of us. And you have to almost look out the window to see what the next turn in the road is. And you have to just take it turn by turn and foot by foot rather than mile by mile or hour by hour. The Bible says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint."